low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting as we've had a couple of conversations preparing for this. Just what a nice fit there is talking about the aspects of coaching and the fit between kind of training and the content that we're going to get into today. And as we were just chatting, it's really the thinking about why this is so important, thinking about what we should be coaching on, and then thinking about how to do that. And that's really a good preview of where we're headed today. So we're going to start with this idea of why now is this so important, especially in this hybrid kind of blended world. And as we're seeing things trend and looking to what does the new normal look like even, and why is coaching so important in that world. So we're going to dive into that a little bit. Then we're going to talk about how we can support the managers with technology and tools as we're trying to scale and support them in their coaching. And then this idea of peer-to-peer and self-assessment, how do we get individuals involved and even help them coach each other? And then ultimately, you know, how can we build this collaborative environment where we can teach and help improve the coaching skills? So, Jonathan, just before we get started, any general thoughts or comments about where we're headed today?
Yeah, you know, as you said, this is such an important topic right now, and has been certainly over the past 18 to 20 months as the pandemic changed the way that we work, it changed the way that we sell, it changed the way that we coach. But we're going to hit on trends that I think are really going to be true for the long term. So I encourage everybody on the call not to just think about how does this affect me today, which it definitely does, but how does it affect my plans going forward? How do I become a better coach or a better rep or a better sales leader, depending on who you are, moving forward? Because the trends that we're talking about, I don't think they're going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's dive into this first piece, you know, the idea of why is coaching important, maybe more important now than ever. What we'd love to do is get some input from the audience just to kick things off here and love to understand, you know, we have a mixture of sales leaders, sales enablement or training specialists, and also sales managers themselves. But just given that question, what is the biggest coaching challenge you're seeing in this hybrid, you know, kind of blended environment where sometimes we're seeing people together, sometimes we're face-to-face with our customers, a lot of times we're virtual, but love to hear over the last, you know, year, 18 months, what are some of the biggest challenges you've seen? And love to hear from people, just add that into the chat, if you would.
Awkward social networking, that's definitely true.
Yeah. So, you know, Ray mentions the eyeball to eyeball or the connection. And, you know, even though we try to do those things to make virtual engaging, it's not the same as being there, right? Or having that cup of coffee, you know, having lunch and breaking bread together, so to speak. I think that's absolutely a challenge.
Yeah. I think so many people miss that, even outside of sales, right? Just connecting with people on a natural human level, which is so often how effective selling processes are conducted. You're able to really look somebody in the eye and make a personal connection with them. And these days, it's a lot harder. You know, do I look at my camera? Do I look at Ray? You know, I'm looking at Ray here on my screen, but I should be looking at my camera. Yeah, you have to go through these different processes that are unnatural, right? And that's a huge hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, a lot of similar themes or common themes around that, you know, the face-to-face, handling that, you know, even the multicultural teams. So we've got different challenges there. And if we can't be physically present, as Jennifer mentioned, you know, another really interesting topic we're going to get into, Delaine mentions, is the challenge of not being able to observe our sellers in action. We can't do ride-alongs. And, you know, I think that's spot on with where we're headed today is, well, then what can we do, whether that's joining virtually or, you know, we have lots of technology and tools that we're going to talk about to address that. Any comments on that, Jonathan?
That's a huge one, isn't it? you know, I feel like rep connectivity to their coaches and to their managers has really been a struggle for a lot of people and a lot of companies. You know, as they mentioned in the comments here, ride-alongs have essentially gone away. We're not sitting right next to our salespeople here, overhearing their calls, able to provide feedback in close to real time. We hear that from our clients all the time. It makes sense. That's a huge challenge. And the good news is that there are ways to address this through technology and through just adjusting your coaching lens and the way that you approach coaching with your virtual teams. So we're going to definitely dig into that one a lot more.
Yeah. And I think that's, how do we pinpoint, and several people mentioned, you know, there just isn't enough time, as Michael said, yeah. And there's never enough time to probably coach as much as we'd like to, but even more so. And especially somebody said, you know, maybe we have meetings where before it would have been a hallway conversation or a quick chat. And so how do we be as effective as we can with the limited time we have available? And even things like, now, can we debrief using technology to help drive what that would have been if we can't be there in person? And we're going to spend some time talking about that today. Excited to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be great.
Very good. So, you know, we see a lot of these things with our clients and as we're facilitating workshops that, you know, coaching is important. And we see it, there's even an added dimension, which is there are additional personal challenges with the hybrid work environment, work from home. We've got another layer and another added level of complexity there that we need to take into account, you know, really meeting our sellers where they are, meeting our employees where they are, and understanding what's going on top of these additional business challenges of the remote work and, you know, pipeline and distribution and other challenges that come up. And I think we really need to demonstrate that empathy of meeting the person where they are, you know, thinking about where they're coming from. And then we also have the challenge of, well, now we've got to rebuild the pipeline, thinking about the new environment that we're in. And so expectations just keep going up and we can't write it off and say, well, you know, that was just a COVID impact any longer. We need to move forward. And so I think there's an enhanced need to help our sellers be productive. And we're probably going to need to do it remotely or in this hybrid world. So looking at ways to do that. Anything else that you would add to this, Jonathan, in terms of, you know, why this is important today?
No, I think all these points really hit on it. I really think the last one is important. The need to coach remote teams at scale, not just to coach them at scale, but to do it in a way that provides individualized feedback to reps. That's really tough. And I know we're going to talk about this, but we see this over and over again. The default for sales coaches is to, in a remote world where they do not necessarily have time to do a ton of individual level coaching, they tend to just do one size fits all coaching, right? Well, I'm just going to roll out the same coaching model to everybody. I'm going to give everybody the same feedback. They're all going to go through the same process. And therefore, they're all going to see the same results. Which, if we know anything about learning and coaching, that's not necessarily true, right? People need different feedback. They learn differently. They consume information differently. Some people are naturally high performers and don't need as much coaching versus the middle to low tier performers. So, listen, anybody who's involved in coaching, I think, knows that in their bones. But in a virtual environment, it can be really hard to achieve that level of personalization in coaching. So that one, I think, we're gonna need to dive into a little bit more.
Absolutely. And yeah, we believe the best coaching is a collaborative approach, right? Where we're really building that plan together, where we're having that discussion versus we know if we just tell them how to do it differently, you know, it may create some resistance, some defensiveness, and likely not create the behavior change we're looking for. So we do really need to collaborate. And that's even, you know, a bit more challenging given this remote environment. So, you know, I know Allego has done a lot of research into this topic, and I'd love to have you kind of break this down for us on the state of this idea of virtual or remote coaching. What are some of the things that you've seen and your team has been looking into?
Yeah, absolutely. So just some good data points to share with the group here. They were definitely enlightening to us. We conducted this research just earlier this year. So still highly accurate and relevant. We can just, you know, let's read off the stats here. 87% of salespeople want more coaching in this new virtual environment. 67% of respondents said that it is harder to observe remote reps during calls to give them constructive feedback, just like we just talked about. So that's validated. And 60% say that it's harder to keep their remote team current on new products, features, and pricing. I don't think any one of these statistics is a huge surprise, right? I think a lot of it's intuitive. It's just harder to stay connected. It's harder to maintain transparency into the sales process and into rep competency. But this is all very validating, right? This grounds us in the reality that the state of sales coaching right now is tenuous. It's difficult to achieve optimal coaching for many of the folks that we're talking to who need to be performing at a high level in order to succeed. So we got a lot of work to do. Ray, before we move on to the next slide, any commentary on these three metrics?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's one, it's not surprising. Salespeople do want the coaching. I mean, typically, and there's some resistance from some, but in general, they want to get better and they want to hit their numbers. And we're also hearing about, you know, there's a lot of attrition and people may be looking around and looking at options. Well, people will quit their manager before they quit their company or their job typically. So if we're not coaching, if we don't have that good relationship, or if they say they want more coaching and we're not able to execute on that, they may be more inclined to look elsewhere. And I think that idea of this great resignation, right, that we're hearing talked about is one to keep in mind, because I think better coaching can create better retention as well. So they want more, but at the same time, it's a little bit harder to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that there's probably a misconception around sellers and that they don't necessarily want to learn. They don't want to be coached. So they want to go off and sell. But as you say, they do want to learn. They want to improve. Their livelihood depends on their ability to improve over time. So they want any knowledge that they can get about how they can improve their performance. It's just a matter of how that knowledge is shared and delivered with them. Is it delivered in purely discrete coaching sessions at one time where, again, everybody receives the same information and then they're just let loose into the field? And more importantly, during that time, they are completely taken out of the field in order to complete that training? Or can we deliver coaching and knowledge sharing in a way that is more natural to a rep, that fits more into the flow of their daily work, where they learn not only from managers and from coaches, but from their peers? We're going to talk a little bit about that. But if you're able to accommodate the way that sellers like to learn and the way that people like to learn, the thirst for knowledge is definitely there.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the ways. I mean, we're going to get into how to do that. People mentioned ramp up as well as one of the things that is more difficult. Can you talk about that? I mean, today, especially if we're bringing on, maybe we're expanding, maybe we're having to add or change out our sales team. But new hires, it's even harder in today's environment. What did you guys learn about that?
Yeah, so you can see here, on average, it takes 2 times longer for new hires to become productive during the pandemic, during this virtual selling transition, compared to when they could train and sell in person. That's pretty massive. And almost 50% of sales leaders say that it is harder to get new hires up to speed and onboarded during this time as well. Major friction here, right? Onboarding is one of the most critical things that you can do with any new hire, particularly in sales, right? You want to get those people up and running, competent, self-sufficient, producing revenue as quickly as possible, right? Every day that they are not competent, that they're not trained to be in the field, it's not just bad for them, it's bad for your company, right? You're losing potential revenue. So we've got to find a way to fix this and bring these virtual teams together to bring new hires up to speed faster. And that's not just, let's remember, it's not just teaching them the sales methodology. It's not just training them on the pitch or on the product. It is bringing them into your culture, right? And making them feel a part of the connective tissue of your company and part of the team. Because that impacts performance. That impacts how engaged they feel in their work, how motivated they feel by their jobs. And that's just as important as the other half of it. So there's a lot that goes into onboarding and a lot that is currently more difficult to achieve than it was.
Right. I can just imagine the trainers and managers in our audience today nodding, going, well, that's what we've been saying, right? It's yeah. Harder and it is challenging. And as you mentioned, the business case is huge, because if we can shorten that ramp up time or make sure that it's more effective, the return of getting somebody at quota quicker, right, is quite significant. So there's all sorts of reasons that, yes, that's important. And we think coaching needs to be a huge component of that onboarding. And managers are also telling us, or sales professionals, that they think tools will help, or at least they want tools to be able to support that. Can you speak a little bit to what you found in the survey here?
Yeah, and this is kind of the flip side. We've been telling everybody that things are hard, right? And that people have challenges. But this is actually really encouraging in that the vast majority of respondents do see light at the end of the tunnel or believe that there is a way to turn this around. So 97%, almost 100% of respondents say the difficulty of coaching and training across different time zones, right? So again, this challenge of being virtual can be overcome with the right technology. And having video-based coaching and training has helped them become more successful at working remotely. Video is critical here, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. I think we're all very familiar with live video communication over Zoom or over some video conferencing tool. That's important. But we need to think about how else do we use video to creatively connect with one another. Perhaps we use recorded video to accomplish more of our communication throughout the day so that we're not as locked into our calendars. Again, we'll talk about that as the presentation goes on. But these are two categories where we saw really near unanimous opinions that the right technology approaches can help sales teams and help sales coaches overcome the challenges that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as we go along, we'll touch on this idea, just like we're seeing in training, that as training's evolving, we're seeing the blended approach as really the one that produces the best results, right? That's more likely to meet the learner where they are, and whether that's a combination of ILT and VILT or some on-demand along with some collaborative learning or that whole ecosystem. I think we're seeing the same with coaching, which is there isn't a one-size-fits-all, but having some different tools and different approaches can be very valuable. If we can be in person, great. But if that's not possible, it's not an excuse not to coach, right? Right. So let's talk about that a little bit further. You know, supporting the sales managers to coach in these hybrid or remote teams, and how do we do that? And again, we'd love to hear what the audience is doing. We've got a great group today and very engaged. So love to hear what tools, what approaches, what creative things are you all doing in your organizations to support your teams and support your managers to coach given the environment. So if you could just chat in, what are some of the things that you put in place over the last, you know, year and a half?
Yeah, really curious to hear about this one. Yep, group calls, recorded video training. Definitely seeing a lot of that. Step-by-step training videos, which I would have to imagine, again, take advantage of recorded video, maybe in a more digestible, bite-sized way. I like to see that.
Yep. Yeah, and I think Seema mentions, you know, having it interactive, real-time and recorded, using things like polls or Slido, I guess, is a tool to use that. So I think, yeah, looking at different options, you know, Adam has an interesting one, is just mentoring by more seasoned reps. And I think that goes to, as we talk about peer-to-peer or, you know, just getting that collaboration going where the manager can't be everywhere at once, but maybe we can leverage others and just provide feedback as we go along. So
yeah, I love that. I love reps connecting with one another, or maybe pairing one of your more seasoned reps with more junior reps so they can learn what good looks like in a really natural way. It's a great idea.
Lisa mentioned meetings, and more meetings, which, you know, I think we're doing coaching and doing, I don't know if that was tongue in cheek or not, but you know, that is kind of the environment that we're in, but how do we make those effective? And if we're doing coaching, can we make that as personal and connected as possible? You know, how do we get the most benefit out of that? Yeah, so lots of good options here. And, you know, we're going to get into some other specific and even emerging technology areas that can help with that. So, you know, let's dive into the coaching at scale and some of the things that we can do really to support that. Maybe you could speak to, you know, some of the recommendations around what you can do to enable that.
Yeah. So this, as I said at the top, this is a really important question because you don't want your coaches just coaching everybody exactly the same way. But we've lost a lot of the tools that were at our disposal in the office in terms of, again, being on ride-alongs, having more face-to-face interactions. So we're all at Allego, we're always thinking about how do we bridge that gap? How do we sort of bring these tools back into the fold or even improve on them? And one of the technologies that we've really landed on as being extremely valuable for scaling coaching is the idea of conversation intelligence or call coaching. So the ability to record every sales call that a rep makes. And automatically that puts you ahead of the game because you've got a repository of information for a coach to review, right? They can see all of their reps' calls at any time that they want. They're on video, they can see transcripts of the call. So that's, again, a step ahead of where we were without that technology. What we think a lot about at Allego and implement ourselves is amplifying that technology with artificial intelligence. So rather than just having a recorded call and making a rep or making a coach rather go through every single minute of every single call, we try to assist them. We try to have artificial intelligence show a coach, all right, how quickly was a rep talking? How fast were they talking? How many filler words did they use? Did they use positive terms about the product that they're pitching, or did they use some negative terms that we wanted to stay away from? When we start training the technology to automatically analyze calls like that, it can pinpoint exact moments within a call that a coach and a rep should both be looking at. So if I'm a coach, I can review one of my rep's calls and I can see just in the video timeline, oh, here's a moment that I need to look at because it was particularly good or maybe it needed improvement. And as a rep, I can do exactly the same thing. This is really important because it starts to reduce the burden of the coach to be the one to analyze and deliver every single minute of coaching. Reps can start to self-analyze, right? They can start to see, oh, this is a moment where I went off track. I should talk to my coach about that. I should try to figure out how I can improve that. That helps make the entire team more efficient if we have both the rep and the coach both highly engaged and easily able to access this type of insight that they didn't have access to before. Other cool things that technology like this can help you do is automate content recommendations based on call topics. So this works both for a rep and for a prospect. Technology can look at a call, the content of a call, and based on the content of the call, it can say, hey, I think that the rep should send X piece of content to the prospect because it would be a really good piece of follow-up content to share based on how it's tagged in our system. And also, you, the rep, might want to consume this lesson on product messaging because we think you could go through that training again, or you might find it helpful for your next call. So again, this is automating elements of coaching. And one takeaway I do not want you guys to have is that AI and conversation intelligence replaces coaching, right? Replaces human coaching. That is never what we're trying to say. There is so much value in having a human coach, working with reps, adding their insight, adding their experience, really driving the team forward. Technology can just help. It can help amplify everything that the coach is doing and scale everything that the coach is doing. And as we say here, help them understand team-wide behaviors at an individual level and replicate winners. When it's really crystal clear what winners are doing well and doing differently from poor performers, you can then amplify that content, share it with the team. You've already got the recordings, as we've established, so you can share those recordings with the team and help bring everybody up to a higher level than you could before. So that's what we're talking about when we're thinking about how can we use technology to scale. And as you can see from the stat in the bottom right here, on average, 20% of sales calls are reviewed currently. That's really bad, right? That means that 80% often go unseen or unheard. So with this type of technology, you can boost that percentage up to 100 because the technology is always listening and is always made available for coaches to take advantage of.
Yeah, and I think the insights you can start to gather as you look across the organization. And for me, the light bulb really went on with this when we think about, again, this is the what to coach on. And if you come out of a call and you say, well, here's what I observed, and they say, well, this is what I observed, and you may have to have a little discussion about were you guys even in the same sales call sometimes, right? I mean, it seems like they have a very different impression versus, it's like reviewing the game tape. Let's go to, minute 37 where the customer brought up that objection. Let's listen to that. And then as we talk about in coaching skills, what did you observe? What do you think about that? Or, reflect on that. Now, what are you going to do? What might you do differently? So instead of saying, oh, you really flubbed that, which is a judgment, but we're going to very specific observations and we have the data. And, from the analytics, we can say, and by the way, you talked 30% more than the average sales call here. and the customer didn't get a chance to really explain their problem or, you know, whatever that may be. So it gives us insights into how to improve as well.
Yeah. I see Joe asked a question here on, do you have stats on the effectiveness of the AI, accuracy of suggestions versus is it seen as intrusive? I don't have, we haven't done research on this, so I don't have, I have metrics, but I can say just from anecdotal evidence, these insights have really been seen as helpful, right? And again, you need to have the human element. So a human can look at the recommendations and say, is this right or is this wrong, right? Don't be mechanical about it. But more often than not, they are seen as a help rather than a hindrance, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's always as, you know, it's only as good as the data that's being analyzed and the insights that are crafted. So I think you need to be very sensitive to what type of recommendations or the automation behind there. But even just having access to the, you know, the game tape and the transcripts, I think is really valuable. Maybe you could speak a little bit more to the, you know, the idea of that virtual coach and what kinds of things you might be able to generate based on the AI.
Yeah. I think I gave away the farm a little bit on the previous slide. But just to reiterate, these are the types of things that the tool can look for, right? Pace of speech, filler words, topics to avoid, topics to cover, points in time to scrutinize. And the nice thing is that with the tool, certainly like the one that we have at Allego, you can train and tune the technology to look out for certain topics, right? Or certain themes to look out for based on any product or messaging that you want to. So if you've got multiple product lines and all the pitches are slightly different, you can have different AI, we call them AI coaches, AI virtual coaches. You can have as many coaches as you want that look at different products and different messaging and are trained to look for very specific themes and topics within those conversations. So it can be a very versatile product and technology if you want it to be. And all of this is just designed to deliver the insights and recommended actionable learning and next steps that we discussed previously.
Yeah, and I think your team has done a really nice job kind of boiling this down and providing a model. Maybe you could just walk us through, you know, some of the different options and areas that you're able to apply this to. And yes, we will make the recording and slides available, but do you want to just walk us through this?
Yeah. And there is a lot on the slide, and we could spend probably a whole webinar on this, right? Because what you're looking at is Allego's view of the world of sales enablement. We've got these five different categories of enablement: coaching and collaboration, onboarding and training, launches and rollouts, content management, and virtual selling, right? These all fall under the sales enablement umbrella. But what the slide is also showing you is how conversation intelligence fits in to every single one of these categories, not just coaching, which I think is the most natural application of this technology. Certainly in coaching and collaboration, you're able to do everything we just talked about, right? Provide individual coaching at scale. But when you go into onboarding and training, like we talked about a minute ago, you can capture the game tape for moments that you can use in training. So if a rep does a particularly good job delivering a message, that's something you want to share with the team, you can clip that out of the call and you can put that into your onboarding or training programs as an example of what good looks like, right? So this is a way that conversation intelligence bleeds over into onboarding and training. For launches and rollouts, you can, and we're talking about product rollouts here, right? So every time you launch a new product, you go out to the field, you pitch something new, you record those calls, then you can analyze those calls to get feedback about what worked and what didn't, what adjustments need to be made along the way so that the pitch for that new product is delivered most effectively, which rolls right around into the idea of content management, often owned by marketing, right? Product marketing, where they're creating content for sales. Very often, this category has never really been connected to conversation intelligence or to coaching or training. But again, now marketers or any sales enablement professional who's creating content can listen to calls where the content that they've created for the sales team is being used, and they can hear firsthand how that's resonating with prospects. So they can say, oh, wow, I thought that the deck I made for my sales team was perfect, but I can hear, you know, five different points throughout this recorded conversation that it fell flat and that I need to go back and change. So this leads to constant improvement of sales collateral and sales materials that never existed before. Right, so kind of an interesting outside the box way to use what is traditionally seen as a coaching tool, and then all of this kind of wraps into virtual selling, right? The actual process of selling. But when you apply conversation intelligence to the actual sales conversation, you're able to automate note taking because the technology records the entire transcript. You can, again, as we just said, look at and analyze prospect engagement and then recommendations for best next steps, which all comes back around to the coaching conversation. So just kind of a cool visual that I probably spent a little bit too long on, but a cool visual of how this technology applies to really the holistic nature of sales and sales enablement across the board.
No, and certainly this whole topic of conversational intelligence is a hot one. And I think people are figuring out, okay, well, what do we mean by that? I mean, there's a lot of great potential, but I think this does a really nice job saying, well, these are practical applications. This is ways that we can start using it today and incorporate that in. And, you know, to your earlier point, this isn't going to replace the sales manager, right? It's enabling them to have better information, to have better insights, to take some of the judgment out, but to say, well, let's have a conversation about this particular area. And by the way, here's what the data or the transcript or, you know, the recording suggests. Let's go review that and then have a conversation. So really great insights. So let's keep us moving here. I want to talk about, you know, how we support the coach, because there's never enough time really to do as much coaching as we'd like to. But this idea of peer-to-peer now, and even, you know, self-assessment, which I always think, if we're doing coaching well, we want the reps to get to a place where they're asking themselves those questions, right? Without us being there. They say, oh, I should really think about what did I do right or well? What might I do differently? You know, how am I going to approach this in the future? And we really build in that self-assessment and self-learning approach. So I think there's some things that we can do to support that. But this is a conversation we have in every one of our sales coaching workshops where we talk about, you know, what gets in the way of coaching. And, you know, if it was Family Feud, this would be the number one answer every time, which is, I just don't have time to coach. Now I've got too many meetings. I've got too many reports. You know, I've got to oversee the pipeline. I've got to put out all these customer fires. I'd like to coach, but I don't have time. And, you know, Stephen Covey talks about, if anybody's a fan of the Seven Habits, you know, talks about doing those important things that aren't necessarily urgent, but those are the ones that actually pay dividends in the future. And I think coaching is one of those things where, yeah, you can always put it off, but if we can do it consistently, we're going to get a return because people are going to learn to help themselves and hopefully we're teaching them to solve their own problems. So if we think that's the case and, you know, they don't have time to do these things, what can we do to help enable them? And we think, again, it's not an excuse that they shouldn't be doing live coaching or maybe there isn't time to do role playing or review and practice. But there are things that we can do to support them in addition to these things that we'd like to do and block out on our calendar and support. But I don't know if you've run into that in your business as well, John. But, you know, it is interesting that managers are just taxed, right? It's one of those really challenging roles. And how do you find time to do all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I run into this myself, right? I'm not a sales coach, but I'm a manager. And finding the time in the day to do everything that needs to be done and make the connections with my team that I need to make is incredibly hard. And it's really easy, as you stated, to push these important yet not urgent tasks to the side, right? And you'll be like, oh, I'll get you later, but I got to respond to this email that is about something that's due tomorrow. And I just got to kind of focus on that, right? Even if it's actually not something that moves the needle, right? We are more inclined to focus on those short-term issues than on these longer-term plays that are definitely going to move the needle for the company. So we all need, as managers and as leaders at companies, we need to be more disciplined about this, about making ourselves think about how can I be spending my time so that I am thinking about and engaging with the activities that are going to make a real tangible impact over the long haul for my company and for my team. So yeah, we see this every day. And it's important to get as much live face-to-face time, even virtually, as you can with your teams, right? You know, on the next slide, we're going to talk about ways to work around calendaring and live communication, I believe. But I don't want to discount the importance of that time, right? Of finding the live time with your team, because that's huge, right? It's huge to do it with one-to-one meetings with your teams and in group meetings, making sure everybody's on the same page. But as we all know, because of time constraints, because of calendar constraints, very often that is not enough. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to get around that challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Rain had a comment. It's not about time, or I'd say not just about time. It's about priorities. And we definitely need to make coaching a priority. And even given that, you know, we'd probably like to have more time to do it. And we still have those other things that everyone's asking us to do. So I think it's absolutely, that's the way, you make progress on those things that are important, but not urgent, is you need to put them on the priority list. You need to block out that time. And then having said that, how do we be as efficient and effective as we can with the time that we have available or we're able to allocate? And one of those things is being able to do things maybe in an asynchronous or offline role. So maybe you could walk through a little bit about how that, what that looks like, or how we can leverage some of the technology in that way.
Yeah, for sure. And we do this all the time at Allego. I found it to be really, really helpful. But again, as opposed to just being limited to the constraints of your day or of your calendar and of time zones, let's think about how we communicate outside of those constraints. So what we do often is we leverage recorded video to make more efficient use of time and people's schedules. So for instance, I'll record videos with my team or for my team where I lay out, it could be anything. It could be just a priority or initiative that I'm thinking about that I want feedback on, but I haven't had time to schedule a meeting about it. And our technology facilitates the ability for my team to watch that video and then provide feedback directly within the video, within the timeline. This is a really small image here on the screen, but you can actually see that in front of the video attached to the timeline is a little comment card, right? So Allego allows anybody watching a video to comment on a specific moment, a specific point in time within the video. And that becomes an example of asynchronous collaboration. They can watch the video on their own time, provide commentary on their own time, and then we can go back and forth on our own time. Really, really effective. For breaking the boundaries of calendar constraints. Some examples of how this can work is, again, we already talked about call recording feedback in the previous section. That's a great example of asynchronous communication and collaboration. Managers can prep and mentor their sales teams by, again, providing recorded videos for people to watch in their own time about new priorities or new messaging or new product positioning, et cetera. They can drive skills practice and coaching for new products. Competitive intelligence sharing is a great one, where maybe you don't have time to have a meeting about some new competitive intel that just came across your plate, but you want to share it with the group. Why don't you record a video and share it and allow for people to absorb it when they can? And then again, this idea to asynchronously collaborate and brainstorm on ideas is huge, and also kind of levels the playing field versus having a live meeting. And what I mean by that is that in a live meeting, I think particularly a virtual meeting, when we're all on Zoom and we're all on our little boxes on the screen, it's very easy for a couple of people to dominate conversation, to dominate brainstorming efforts, right? We all know there are those people in the room who just love to hear themselves talk. They always have, you know, great ideas to share, and often they are great ideas, but you know, the more introverted people in the group don't always have their voice heard. When you're communicating and collaborating asynchronously, it kind of evens that out, right? Everybody can contribute in their own way, on their own time. It gives people who need more time to process and think about ideas to have that time and then share it in the video and still be heard, right? So there's some nice efficiencies gained in this type of model if you use it to supplement everything that you're doing live.
No, absolutely. And again, complementing what we may be doing already, but then providing additional ways to really leverage that and make use of the time, because maybe that is that we have to do that outside of customer hours, or you know, maybe there's some time that we have offline that we can do that to prepare. So lots of great insights there. You know, the other piece of this is getting people to coach themselves and coach others, and this idea of self-assessment and peer-to-peer feedback. So maybe you can walk us through what that looks like. And we'll talk about that with respect to training as well, because I think this whole idea of peer-to-peer and collaborative learning is really exciting. But what would you add to that?
Yeah. This is such a core component, and one that I think has not yet been fully embraced by a lot of coaches and trainers and learning professionals. So often, coaching and training are seen as owned from the top down. They're administrative. All the burden is on the coach, right, to deliver the training and distribute it out to the field. Again, as with everything, there is value to that model. But if you can build around it this culture and idea of peer-to-peer feedback, where reps are sharing knowledge with each other and learning from each other in the flow of work, that's going to become so much more powerful than just a formal training model. For instance, a rep goes on a pitch, right? They encounter a challenge, or they encounter something really positive that happens that they want to share with the team. Allowing them an easy way to share that experience, whether through a recorded video like we've been talking about, or something else, to be able to share that information as the action happens, as the experience happens with their team, is really, really powerful. Not just because it's getting back to the field faster than it would in a formal training session, but because it's being shared by somebody in the field, right? And sellers love learning from each other. They respect each other. They're all in what we call the sales arena together, right? They're all sort of living and dying with every sales conversation. So I think information that is shared from a rep to another rep, or to a group of reps, is taken really seriously by the team, which we would love that to be the case when they're receiving training from a trainer and from a coach, but we know that doesn't always happen, right? So we're looking for ways for them to really buy in to learning within an organization. So this type of learning goes a long way with reps. Other examples here, reps can request feedback on specific points in time within their videos or within their knowledge sharing experience, solicit feedback from other reps. And then you can start to take all of this, what we call agile content, this sort of bite-sized in the flow of work, in the field content, and you can start mining and curating content to create training exercises and onboarding exercises like we were talking about a few slides ago. And then you can go outside of the sales organization as well and get and bring in content from subject matter experts in products or in customer success. Because if you think about your organization, chances are you have really, really valuable insights from people who live outside of the sales organization. And if you're not soliciting their knowledge, then you're missing an opportunity for sales to take advantage of that knowledge, right? If product has information about how to best pitch a feature, because listen, they're in a good position to do that. They often built the feature. They know how it works best. They know how it stacks up against competitors because they built the feature with that in mind. They should be sharing that with the team all the time. So you need to be building this culture of not just sales-wide peer-to-peer feedback and learning, but organization-wide feedback and learning, so that you create a holistic culture of learning and collaboration. And it as we say in the last bullet here, it allows you the opportunity to showcase what good looks like, clone top performers, and just be more efficient and more successful when putting your team through any sort of training or learning scenario. So we love this idea. Allega was built around this idea, and it's been shown to work, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, and I it's so important that they will listen more intently and probably take more away from the same content that's being delivered by one of their peers than from a talking head, right, or a training video or some so-called expert, but seeing that, oh, this is what somebody did in the flow of work and it actually helped close a deal or advance the sale. I mean, that's really riveting, right? That's something they're going to pay attention to and really makes a difference and puts it in context. So
yeah,
I think that's super valuable. We'll talk about that for training as well, because I think that's a really exciting development. And talking about how do we leverage some of these concepts in a collaborative learning environment. And specifically, we'll talk about how do we do that when we're teaching coaching skills. So as we're going forward here, and I want to make sure we have a few minutes for questions at the end as well. But you know, one of the things looking at learning is moving from this traditional ILT type classroom. And certainly there's been a lot of e-learning. There's a lot of good resources out there. And you know, a pivot to VILT. A lot of people were doing VILT maybe for the first time, but that changed pretty dramatically with not being able to travel. But aside from all of that, and there's really good training industry research around this as well. And what it suggests is learners are going to learn best by if we're able to address the learning style that they prefer and that we kind of meet them where they are. And that probably means a blended solution is going to have the best results. They're going to like it and it's going to have the best outcomes if we're able to have a number of different ways of delivering and interacting with that content. And so I think what that means is a blended solution is going to be a combination of some asynchronous or e-learning, some virtual or live, facilitated sessions, and an opportunity to learn from each other and this idea of a collaborative environment. So really, that's where we've seen great success and developments in the past couple of years, frankly, and certainly during COVID. And what we branded as this CLX, or Collaborative Learning Experience. And again, there's a lot to walk through here, but just at the highest level, if we're taking a combination of videos and kind of the classic content, and then we're able to apply that and collaborate around it, we're going to have a better environment or a better opportunity to engage with that information. And the other piece we're doing, back to your thought about, you know, we're capturing those best practices or what good looks like, is curating these voice of the seller content, what we call voice of the seller videos, where we're getting the top sellers to talk about how they're engaging or how they're doing a particular skill, and then sharing that in as a supplement to the traditional content. And again, it brings it to life in a different way. And we can do it these days a lot easier and more cost effectively than, oh, we've got to script it out and send somebody to the studio. No, capture it on the smartphone, have a good editor splice that up and piece it together. And we can have a great learning video, you know, with some of that real-time content. So we're seeing that, and then the opportunity for them to apply the concepts as they go through and collaborate and discuss it with their peers in an online type of setting. And then they have access to all of that content for reference as they go forward. So it's not learning as an event, but learning as an ongoing program. And then we kind of cap that off with, hey, they should be able to see their progress as they go through. And ultimately, they get a badge or, you know, a credential as a result of that. But we're using this for our sales coaching and certainly for other programs as well. But it's a way to get these experiences and get this content out there and having it apply it, you know, kind of in a real time setting. Love to get any thoughts you have on this. And I know Allego also supports, you know, a lot of these concepts as we're talking about.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It blends so nicely with Allego's philosophy of, you know, the fact that we are built around this core of bite-sized informal learning, peer-to-peer sharing, knowledge sharing, but also blended with the formal training that folks are very familiar with and always driving towards a point. I think that's important. When we think about learning and training, yes, it's amazing to have an ongoing culture of collaboration and learning. We want to foster that. But we also want to make sure that people are driving towards a goal, right? Of being certified on a product, on product positioning or anything else that they need in order to perform their jobs appropriately. So I love the blend of tactics that you guys apply throughout all of this in order to get people to the finish line where they need to be, but doing it in a way that really facilitates learning in a more human and more natural way. It really vibes with everything that we preach at Allego every day.
That's great. And, you know, we'll talk about, I mean, just kind of summing that up, you know, why we think this is a great approach and, you know, frankly, kind of the future as we're blending these together. But I think it does improve the experience. And we've certainly seen that from participant feedback, you know, from the engagement as they go on. It allows us to scale. And, you know, this was about how do we scale coaching? How do we scale coaching in general? But we have distributed teams. Maybe they're in different time zones. Well, now they can engage online and offline, right? But they can do it at their own time frame in terms of watching the videos or posting in a discussion group or commenting on somebody else's assignment without having to force them into the classroom together. And obviously eliminating, you know, some of the costs that's associated with that. And then getting them working on real skills and real world application and getting that feedback. You know, Adam mentioned that it also provides the credibility of, you know, those are folks who are in the field. They're getting their hands dirty. They're applying the skills. And as you'll see on the next slide, we have some great feedback from a program we ran with this approach about just how valuable it was to get feedback on real deals. It's like you have a bunch of coaches that are helping you along the way as you're applying these new skills. So we think it helps to make it more scalable, cost-effective, and more effective.
Yeah, no, this is great. And as you go through this slide, right, it makes me think we have a lot of talk tracks around the ROI of sales coaching. And all these bullets, really, if you can think about them as a return on the investment of coaching, right? You're eliminating travel costs, you're improving your training experiences and thereby your outcomes, right? Your revenue generation that is directly correlates with ROI. You're getting your team to be more engaged and more effective. All of these points show why you have to make this a priority and why you have to make this an investment, even if it's not, as we talked about, in the short term, seen as urgent, right? It is hugely important over time. You don't have to sell me on this. This is great stuff.
Yeah, no, and a lot of different ways that this is evolving, and we can go with it. We just wanted to share a few of the quotes and some of the feedback, but I think the key theme of all of these messages are the chance of learning from others as they go through and having real-time opportunities. So having the course based on, you know, real application and over a period of time, so they're coming back together or they're interacting over a period of time as they test it out, right? And, you know, in this case, we have these live cohort sessions as well. And so that was a chance to come back after going through the experience with a customer and talk about what worked and what didn't work. And again, having the hands-on experience, the learning exercises, and the collaboration to learn from each other. So, you know, some really strong, you know, anecdotal, but participant feedback of what that experience was like going through this type of program. And, you know, how do we apply this to building better coaches and building better sellers? So being able to coach them along the way as well. But that, you know, in the flow of work, getting them to apply it, getting them feedback from each other, I think it's a great way to scale, you know, both the training and the coaching that we're talking about.
Yeah. And I love these two quotes starting in the upper left and going clockwise. You know, we had a chance to learn from other sellers in the organization. That directly hits on points that we've talked about throughout all of this, right? Getting feedback and knowledge from the people that they're working with is so important. And then everything we did was based on the ideas that these are activities that we would have to do with customers on a day-to-day basis, right? So you're delivering real, actionable, tangible value, right? That reps can see is going to make an impact on their performance. That is so huge, rather than just delivering bunches of theory, right, and hypotheses. Reps are looking for practical knowledge, and that's what we need to focus on in the coaching and enablement space.
No, that's great. Great to see the connection there and the distinctions from, you know, real participants. So let's go ahead and just sum this up. You know, we talked about the kind of the why, the what, and the how. So the why was, it is more important, or it is important, and certainly in this kind of new, challenging, hybrid, remote, we're not really sure, connecting with our employees, with our sellers, and being able to have those conversations, whether it's live or leveraging some of the technology, right? And we talked about the right mix of technology, methodology, and training to support the managers as coaches. And if we can be there and do it live, great, but sometimes we can't. So how are we going to do that? And there are some organizations where it used to be 100%, I'm going to go ride along with you for the day, and then we're going to sit down and have coffee and talk about it, to, you know, 100% inside sales, and it's all happening online. Well, guess what? We need to figure out that mix, and how do we do that? And if we can't be there, what's the, you know, what's the response, or how do we get around that? There was a question that came up about call recording, which I just wanted to mention, because I think that is important. You know, sometimes we don't have access to the recording, or we're not able to do a virtual call, but we can be there and we can observe, and we certainly want to apply a lot of the same concepts. In the case of the call recording, and the question was, well, are you telling the customers, or do you have to give them notice? And you absolutely need to make them aware. But I think the barrier to that has gone down. I think it's a lot easier these days. One, because people are kind of expecting it. And with a lot of the technologies, it'll even say when you start the meeting, this meeting is being recorded, or you just give them a heads up, hey, we're recording this for note-taking and future reference. I have yet to have somebody say, I don't want this recorded.
And totally agree.
May happen in some situations. It's like, okay, fine, we won't record this one. But I think now it's becoming more the norm, but you absolutely should let people know. So I just wanted to touch on that in terms of remote coaching. We talked about asynchronous and things we can do, both training and coaching, to make it more collaborative and engaging the learners and the peers in helping to create that environment and support each other along the way. Anything else you would add to this, John?
No, I think these are spot on. I will say that we covered a lot of ground here, right? And we touched on a lot of different themes and different types of technologies that you can use to boost your coaching efforts. Don't feel like you have to do all of this at once. I'd say pick areas that you're really comfortable with, get started there, or just pick one point that you think you could improve and start there. And you can build on all of these efforts over time. You don't have to be intimidated by the scope of what we're talking about here. It's all achievable in a systematic way that builds on itself, which is part of the really nice, one of the nice things about what we're talking about today.
Outstanding. Well, John, I just wanted to thank you for sharing your insights and the research and all of the great work that Allego's doing in this area. And as we said, how nicely it connects with, you know, our perspective of how do we build better managers and coaches, and how can we leverage some of these insights, you know, into the training and into the coaching conversations as we go along. So as always, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you about this. And again, thanks for your insights today.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.